RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener, welcome to the news. Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo to reduce number of school dropouts. All countries compete to attract investors by simplifying investment permits. Now, the news in details. The head of press, media and information of the Presidential Secretariat, Bey Mahmudin, said that Indonesian President Joko Widodo is determined to reduce the number of school dropouts in the country. He said in a statement received on Saturday that the government would increase more and equal access to educational services to children of all school ages in the country. One of the efforts taken is through the extension of cash subsidy for the education of all school-age children for poor families and orphans. President Jokowi, as he is also called, said to newsmen after distributing Smart Indonesia cards or KIP for getting the subsidy in the district of Sleman, Yogyakarta in Central Java, that he wished none of these children are unable to get school education. The head of state reminded that in the current era of global competition, the quality of human resources in Indonesia must continue to be increased. Through the Smart Indonesia card, the government hopes that all school-age children in the country would have equal access to educational services so that the quality of workforce would improve. The president also advised the children to study well so that they would be smart and ready to compete in future. Chief Investment Coordinating Board, or BKPM, Thomas Lembong said that all countries were competing to attract investors by simplifying investment permits for the convenience of the investors. Lembong said on Saturday, 4 February, that competition is stiff because all countries are contesting to win investors, and Indonesia is facing not only Malaysia and Singapore, but also Vietnam, which is active in offering investment facilities. The BKPM chairman visited Batam to launch the second phase expansion of the Direct Construction Investment Facility, or KLIK. According to Lembong, the present conditions make the governments of all countries change, renew, as well as cancel regulations considered not pro-business. He noted that the Indonesian government always tries to make breakthrough and eliminate all regulations seen as hindrances for investors to enter the country. Lembong said that the government of President Joko Widodo has also tried to change the mindset which has so far made the issuance of investment permits difficult. Indonesian tourism industry have expressed support to the adoption of visa-free policy by the government so far, citing positive impact on the tourism sector. The general chairman of the Association of Indonesian Tourism Industries, or GIPI, Didin Junaidi, said on Saturday, 4 February, that the adoption of the policy is essential to boost tourism in the country. He said that the policy has been proven to significantly increase the arrival of foreign tourists in their countries. Through Presidential Regulation No. 21/2016, the Indonesian government has provided visa-free facility to visitors from 169 countries for a short visit. According to Didin, the regulation was produced in 2 March 2016, and so it is not yet a year old. The evaluation should be done after 2 years of its implementation. Junaidi added that tourism industrialist group in GIPI have seen and felt the positive impact of the policy. He stated that consistency in the implementation of the policy would be needed with regard to build public trust in foreign countries. Strong wind knocked down a grandstand at Sheikh Yusuf Field on Friday, killing a public order agency officer in Goa Regency, South Sulawesi. Two other people who were in the grandstand were also injured after being hit by debris. The fatality was Abdul Rahman, 38 years old. Those injured were Anduka, 24 years old, and Nuhung, 48 years old. They were sent to the hospital but were later discharged in a stable condition. On Friday, dozens of public order agency officers were training at the field when hard rain began to fall. They took shelter in the grandstand. Widya, an eyewitness, said that when a strong wind blew, shaking the grandstand, and people taking shelter ran away from it. Later, the structure collapsed and hit the victims. The structure measured 21 meters by 10 meters and was comprised of wood with a corrugated iron roof. Goa Public Work Agency head Muhammad Mundoab said that besides knocking down the grandstand, the wind also blew over several trees. Strong wind also knocked down trees in Makassar, damaging cars and street lamps. Bank Indonesia, the central bank, will maintain its cautious stance on monetary policy this year as it braces for uncertainties in the global economy and rising inflationary pressure at home. Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo said on Friday, 3 February, that Bank Indonesia are cautiously accommodative. Earlier, Bank Indonesia had an easing bias. Now it's an easy but caution bias. He added that in 2017, Bank Indonesia will be very cautious over global economic condition. The cautiousness has been caused by still uncertain directions of the United States fiscal and trade policy. Any decision made by the world's biggest economy, Agus said, will have an impact on others. This year, Bank Indonesia and the Ministry of Finance will have to keep the country's inflation in check due to expected higher administered prices. The government plans to decrease subsidies for electricity and spend more on development. Bank Indonesia seeks to keep its inflation target at 3-5%, same with last year's target. Executive Director of Economic and Monetary Policy at Bank Indonesia, Judagung, said that the central bank's room for monetary. The Tourism Ministry has awarded Banyuwangi District as the best festival city in Indonesia. The Banyuwangi administration said in a statement on Saturday that the Tourism Ministry Arif Yahya gave the title to Banyuwangi while launching Banyuwangi Festival 2017 in his office in Jakarta on Friday. Minister Arif Yahya was quoted as saying in the statement that judging from various festivals organized in Indonesia, he declared Banyuwangi as the best festival city or the best festival organizer. The minister asserted that since 2012, Banyuwangi has successfully organized annual festivals. Besides, the implementation of the annual festival has improved quantitatively and qualitatively. This year, Banyuwangi has planned 72 activities to enliven the 2017 Banyuwangi Festival. He lauded Banyuwangi for organizing the annual festival that helps in preserving the local culture and traditions and also boost the local economic conditions. He suggested that Banyuwangi promotes maritime tourism as foreign yacht could generate a lot of income. The last item, National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian launched on Saturday 6 phone application in a package called Smile Police made by the Central Java Police. Speaking in Semarang Central Java, Tito announced the Android-based applications Panic Button e-Babinkam Tipnas or Community Policy, e-Public Service, e-Complain, e-Office, and e-Learning. Tito said the digitization of public services was in line with an order from President Joko Widodo. He said, as quoted by Antara News Agency, that the IT-based service will improve police services. He said in the package would be available for Central Java residents, but hope availability could be expanded nationwide. Tito pointed out that this is input for the national police. If police cannot make a new one, just adopt this app package. The Central Java Police Chief Inspector General Kirono said that the application were available for download. He said that the application has been downloaded 5,000 times in the province. That was the news.
Welcome back to a weekly segment of news from across the country. The segment informs you various interesting information throughout the country in a week. The first information comes from Biak Numfor, Papua. The government of Biak Numfor Agency, Papua, developed tourism attraction to get attention to the chance of tourism visit in 20th National Sport Weeks in 2020 in Papua. The Head Office of Tourism and Promotion Development, Tourism Office of Papua, Hans Mananti, after speaking at the Technical Assistant of Creative Economy Tourism in Biak on Tuesday, said there are many leading products of tourism and also regional cultures which are worthy to be developed to be leading tourism objects of Biak. One of the objects is the cultural attraction such as walking on the hot flint. Hans invited the regional government of Biak Numfor, indigenous people, the private sector as well as local tourism players to align the leading of regional tourism program in welcoming the implementation of National Sport Week 2020. The 2020 National Sports Event in Papua is estimated will invite 10,000 of athletes and tourists from 34 provinces in Indonesia. Biak City becomes one of cluster of 2020 National Sports venues so that the region will be visited by athletes and tourists. Next information comes from Nunukan, North Kalimantan. The region of Nunukan, North Kalimantan, Asmin Laura Hafid has operated Siu Panjang Port, Sebatik Timur Sub-District beginning on 1st February 2017 after the previous port Senyamuk Sebatik Island has terminated its operation. In connection with the termination of Senyamuk Port, the region has visited the port to ensure its condition. On a separate occasion, the head of Transportation Office of Nunukan, Hanafia, when surveyed to Sei Panjang and Sei Nyamuk ports, told her subordinated to not doing extortion. This information comes from Tabanan, Bali. The attraction of art and culture about the birthday story of I Gusti Ngurah Rai until the fighting against the Dutch colonizers was also held in the peak of 100 years anniversary of the national hero at the Taman Pujaan Bangsa Margarana Heroes Cemetery, Tabanan Regency, on Monday. Vice Governor of Bali, Iketut Sudikerta, attended the event along with member of Indonesian House, Regional House of Pemilihan Bali, Communication Forum of Bali Regional Heads, Chairman of Legion Veteran and National Heroes Family of Bali. The activity, which involved local communities around the Heroes Temple, entitled Rekindle the Spirit of National Struggle of Colonel Posthumus I Gusti Ngurah Rai. I Gusti Ngurah Rai was born on January 13, 1917, or 100 years ago, and died as the national hero. He was buried at the Taman Pujaan Bangsa Margarana Hero Cemetery on November 20, 1946. Listener, that was news from across the country from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Today in History. The first is from 1933, mutiny on Royal Netherlands Navy warship HNLMS, the 7th provisions of the coast of Sumatra, Dutch East Indies. HNLMS, the 7th provisions, was an armored warship of the Royal Netherlands Navy from 1910 to 1942. The 7th provision was a warship built for the purpose of defending the seas close to land, designed as a small cruiser-sized warship which sacrificed speed and range for armor and armament. She served part of her career in the Dutch East Indies, now Indonesia, from 1911 to 1918 and from 1921 onwards. During the 1920s, her crew included some Dutch and Indonesian sailors and the future Rear Admiral Karel Doorman. He suffered a high-profile mutiny on 5 February 1933, which had far-reaching implications for politics in the Netherlands. She was renamed Surabaya in 1936. On 18 February 1942, Surabaya was sunk by Japanese bombers. The Japanese raised her and used her as a battery ship until she was sunk again by Allied aircraft in 1943. Turning to February 5, 1947, the Indonesian Muslim Students Association is established. The Muslim Student Association, or HMI, of Indonesia is a student organization that was established in Yogyakarta on February 5th. Formerly, it was called the United Students of Yogyakarta or Perserikatan Mahasiswa Yogyakarta, but then it was considered not to serve the interests of the students who still uphold the values of the Islamic religion. The religious aspirations were the strong reason to establish an Islamic student organization. HMI was initiated by Lafran Pane, a first-year student of law faculty of an Islamic college. The last is from 1971, astronaut land on the moon in the Apollo 14 mission. Apollo 14 was the 8th manned mission in the United States Apollo program and the 3rd to land on the moon. It was the last of the 8 mission targeted landing with 2-day stay on the moon with 2 lunar AVAs or moonwalks. Commander Alan Shepard commanded module pilot Stuart Rosa and lunar module pilot Edgar Mitchell launched on their 9-day mission on January 31, 1971. Shepard and Mitchell made their lunar landing on February 5th in the Phra Modal formation, originally the target of the aborted Apollo 13 mission. During the two lunar EVAs, 42.80 kilograms of moon rock were collected and several scientific experiments were performed. That was today in history.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past. Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is our service Voice of Indonesia with highlights of the week entitled Australia, Indonesia Working Together to Confront Terrorism. Coordinating Ministry for Politics, Legal and Security held the third Indonesia-Australia Ministerial Council meeting on law and security in Jakarta Thursday, 2 February. During the meeting, several Indonesian ministers and state officials met to discuss various cooperation in law and security with the Australian government delegation. The Indonesian delegation consisting of, among others, the Attorney General Muhammad Prasetyo, Minister of Justice and Human Rights Yasona Lawli, Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian, Head of the National Counterterrorism Agency Commissioner General Suhardi Alius, and the Head of Financial Transaction Reports and Analysis Center Kiagus Ahmad Badarudin. The Australian delegation led by Attorney General George Brandis, consisting of the Minister of Justice, Michael Keenan, and Cyber Security Affairs Minister Dan Tehan. After the meeting, the nation coordinating minister for politics, legal and security Wiranto said that the prevention of terrorism was one of the topics discussed in the depth at the meeting. They discussed mutual agreement between Indonesia and Australia in connection with efforts to confront the threat of foreign terrorist fighters or FTF, counteracting terrorism financing crimes, tackling extremism and the radicalization. On the same occasion, the head of Australian delegation, Attorney General George Brandis, said that the bilateral meeting was to strengthen relations between the two countries in the field of combating terrorism. According to him, the issue of terrorism has become common problems faced by both countries. In the meeting, Australia and Indonesia focus on strengthening cybersecurity because now the radicalism is easy spread via the internet. According to Wiranto, in addition to discussing the issue of terrorism, delegations from the two countries also exchanged views of regional security dynamics. They discussed the development of regional security dynamics and the importance of maintaining stability in the region through cybersecurity cooperation, the establishment of national crisis centers, and wider cooperation in the field of law enforcement. They agreed to jointly maintain the stability of the region through the establishment of Indonesia-Australia Crisis Management Center and strengthening cybersecurity cooperation. Meanwhile, Australian Justice Minister Michael Keenan announced that Australia agreed to give assistance worth $4 million Australian dollars in the next 5 years to Indonesia for the handling of legal issues and security. This cooperation goes through the second phase of the Australian-Indonesia Partnership for Justice, or AIPG2, for the period 2017 until 2021. AIPG2 will support key institutions of Australia and Indonesia to continue the close cooperation in the field of law, justice and security, such as the importance of cooperation between the Australian Federal Police and the police, as well as collaboration between the Supreme Courts of the two countries. The third Indonesia-Australia Ministerial Council meeting on law and security also notes some cooperation in the fields of law, among others regarding the handling of drugs dissemination and illegal fishing. That was highlight of the week.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Welcome to the news in brief. Indonesian President Joko Widodo to reduce number of school drops out. The head of press, media and information of the Presidential Secretariat, Bey Mahmudin, said that Indonesian President Joko Widodo is determined to reduce the number of school dropouts in the country. All countries compete to attract investors. Chief Investment Coordinating Board or BKPM Thomas Lembong said that all countries were competing to attract investors by simplifying investment permits for the convenience of the investors. Indonesian tourism industries support visa-free policy. Indonesian tourism industries have expressed support to the adoption of visa-free policy by the government so far, citing positive impact on the tourism sector. Strong wind knocks down grandstand in South Sulawesi, killing one. Strong wind knocked down a grandstand at Sheikh Yusuf Field on Friday, killing a public order agency officer in Goa Regency, South Sulawesi. Bank Indonesia maintains its monetary stance with eyes on global economy. Bank Indonesia, the central bank, will maintain its cautious stance on monetary policy this year as it braces for uncertainties in the global economy and rising inflationary pressure at home. Banyuwangi awarded as Best Festival City in Indonesia. The Tourism Ministry has awarded Banyuwangi District as the Best Festival City in Indonesia. Police launched mild police application package, including panic button. National Police Chief General Tito Karnavian launched on Saturday 6 phone application in a package called Smile Police, made by the Central Java Police. That was news in brief.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will introduce Mo'oat Lake, which is located in North Sulawesi Province. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast through www.voi.co.id. North Sulawesi has at least three lakes that have become main tourist attractions. One of them is Mo'oat Lake in East Bola Ambangondo. It is a volcanic lake located in Mount Ambang Nature Reserve at an altitude of 1,100 meters above sea level. To get to the lake, you can start from the provincial capital of Manado to Kota Mubagu City, which can be reached from Manado by public transport. Using the Trans-Sulawesi Highway towards Gorontalo direction, the trip will take 3 to 4 hours. From Kota Mubagu, you have to drive again for approximately 1 hour to get to Moat Lake. Since there is no public transport going to the lake, you'd better rent a car from Manado for 1 day rather than using a public transport into Kota Mubagu than trying to find a car there. When you arrive at Moat Lake, a cool atmosphere will immediately welcome you along with the overlaid beauty of the lake expanding directly from the edge of the highway. There are several places from where you can enjoy the beauty of Moat Lake. The first is from off-highway. Here you can enjoy the wonderful view of the lake right before your eyes as soon as you arrive. The second is from gazebo located in former tourist spot. Here are some gazebos that can be used by visitors to relax while enjoying the beauty of Moat Lake. There is also a wooden pier, on top of which you can enjoy the beauty of the lake from a short distance. The presence of green hills lining around Moat Lake would spoil your eyes and makes you linger there. And the third is from a hilltop not far from the lake, where you can see the fabulous scenery of the lake which seems to be hidden among green hills. The environment around Moat Lake, with small islands in it, is still well preserved, making some rare eels, commonly called sogili fish by local people, choose to breed there. Across Indonesia, there are only two lakes where you can find these eels. One is in Moat Lake, the other is in a lake in East Nusa Tenggara province. In Moat Lake, while enjoying its beauty, you can also try fishing because there are many kinds of freshwater fish. For the fishing gear, you can rent it at a very cheap price. But if you catch an eel or sogili fish, you should put it back because it is included in the endangered list. When the afternoon comes and you are tired, don't hurry to go home because you mustn't miss the breathtaking sunset at Moat Lake. Don't forget to bring your camera to capture amazing scenes around this wonderful Moat Lake. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder featuring Moat Lake in North Sulawesi. Until tomorrow with another topic, I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Air Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to our regular program Miscellany with me, Alika. Today's edition is about 10 November Institute of Technology creates an air quality detection tool. September November Institute of Technology, or ITS, in Java created an air quality monitoring tool which meets the internationals. This tool is the result of the development of the Air Pollution Control Laboratory in the Department of Environmental Engineering. ITS Laboratory Head of Dr. Ari Dipareza Shafei said that based on data provided by 5 air quality monitoring stations in Surabaya, the air condition in Surabaya often exceed the quality standards. The situation is certainly feared could damage the health of the community. While the data is often lost due to the damage to the monitor, the price of a monitoring tool is very expensive, around 2 billion rupees. In addition, the repair cost is also expensive. The city government cannot do much when the appliance is not working properly. While in fact, air quality monitoring tool is needed to determine the condition of the air in the region, especially in urban areas. According to Ari, although the price is cheaper, but the new tool which created by ETS has an accuracy of up to 90%. Together with the entire laboratory staff and two students, namely Titing Fahriza and Cory Constantia, Ari will continue to develop the tool. The price is much cheaper, that is between 80 to 100 million rupees. Unlike the air monitoring tool that uses gas analyzer systems, monitoring tools belonging to the ETS uses some sensors. Ari, who is a doctoral graduate of Hiroshima University in Japan, said that with the electrochemical sensors are used, the air quality monitoring tool created by ETS can distinguish two types of pollutants in two types of gas, and the use of a sensor that caused the price difference with the tools available today. In the process of making this tool, Ari said that he did not face any significant difficulties, even got the full support from ETS in the presence of local funds. This tool is a realization of the contribution of ETS contribution to the government and society. He also hoped that the air quality gauge it can be installed and used in all regions in Indonesia. Listener, that was Miss Lenny for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Lenny on Indonesia.
Listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Christian Kolar in Croatia. He listened to our broadcast in English program through frequency 9525 kHz at 1930 to 1945 UTC on January 26, 2017. And the symbol was 55455. Hello, Christian Kolar. Thank you very much for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We are really glad your VOI signal is very good. It means you are able to monitor our radio clearly. For information, you can also tune in Voice of Indonesia through your Android. You just install RRI Play or RRI World Service. And as your request, we will send our KSL card to your home immediately. And please be patient to wait for it. Thank you. Well, Christian Kolar, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report of our broadcast. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Seandainya aku punya saya, terbang, terbanglah aku, ku cari. sini. Seandainya dapat kau rasakan kejam, kejamnya dunia. Tiada lagi keadilan. Untuk apa ku di sini menjerit dan menangis, pilu dan derita, merintih dan berdoa di
Now we will replay an email from Riaz Ahmad Khan in Pakistan. He listened to our broadcast in English program through live streaming on 26 January 2017 at 16 to 17 UTC. In his email, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan said that there were some problems and signal was not clear. Hello, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan, thank you very much for your report, because you listen to our broadcast through live streaming, which directly connects to the internet, so perhaps internet network in your country was not good at that time. We are really sorry for your inconvenience. If you miss some segment of English program, you can find the segment out through our website. Well, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you. As our appreciation, we will play a beautiful song just for you. Enjoy the song.
Terpaksa aku sendiri
Sementara saja kini, bersabarkan datang hari. Meskipun ku lelah, aku takut kamu tak mengerti cara ku sampaikan rasa ini. Kamu tak mengerti, ajarkan aku tuh bisa dapat ungkapkan rasa, agar kamu kan percaya begitu ku butuh cinta. Kembali lagi terulang, tergores hatiku ini. Setelah lama menyimpan rasa ini terlalu tak mengerti.
You are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to reply a comment from Azam Ali Samsro, also in Pakistan. We received his email through VOI Facebook fan page. He listened to our exotic Indonesia program between Voice of Indonesia and RRI Kupang. In his email, Mr. Azam Ali Samsro said that he got some very special and interesting information about Kupang and related various traditions. Hello, Mr. Azam Ali Samsro. Thank you for your compliment on our broadcast. We hope the information which is broadcasted by our radio can be useful. Well, Mr. Azam Ali Samsro keeps listening to our broadcast, and please send your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you. For you listeners, wherever you are, we will play a beautiful song.
Kau izinkan, walau sekejap memandang, ku buktikan kepadamu, aku memiliki rasa
cinta yang ku pendam, tak sempat aku nyatakan, karena kau telah memilih menutup pintu hatimu.
Izinkan aku
kesungguhan rasa.
Izinkan aku menyayangimu,
sayangku. Dengarkanlah isi hatiku, cintaku. Dengarkanlah
isi hatiku.
Karena kau telah memilih menutup pintu hatimu.
Izinkan aku membuktikan inilah kesungguhan rasa.
Izinkan aku menyayangimu. Dengarkanlah isi hatiku,
cintaku.
Dengarkanlah isi hatiku. Tak menyatukan kita,
oh, bila kita tak mungkin bersama.
Izinkan aku tetap menyayangimu. Oh, 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 oh. Sayangku.
Dengarkanlah isi hatiku,
cinta.
Aku membuktikan aku sayang padamu.
Well, listener, actually we have received many emails. Unfortunately, we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Alika, thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Diam, ku hanya sanggup terdiam di saat kau menghilang, menyimpan seribu kenangan, terisak-isak suara tangisku melawan kenyataan, habis upayaku. Senyuman terakhir itu pecahkan syaraf sadarku.
Aku harus bagaimana berjalan tanpa kamu? Apa dayaku? Beri aku kesempatan untuk memelukmu lagi, pelukmu lagi.
Sulit, teramat sulit jalanku melawan takdir ini sendiri tanpamu.
Senyuman terakhir itu pecahkan saraf sadarku.
Aku harus bagaimana untuk memelukmu lagi, pelukmu lagi.
Tanpamu,
bagaimana berjalan tanpa kamu? Apa dayaku?
Beri aku kesempatan untuk memelukmu lagi.
Bagaimana berjalan tanpa kamu? Apa dayaku?
Kini aku tak seimbang,
tak sanggup menggantikanmu dengan yang lain.
Gantikanmu
dengan yang lain.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.